M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I. 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 Let's get this show started, shall we? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to LSEC Publishing Radio. This is your host, Teresa Banks, and I just want to remind you, you are always welcome to dial into this program to either listen or to chit-chat directly with me on the line. The dial-in number is 323-792-2907. Now, this show is entitled Live from Mississippi, but I have a confession to make tonight. I am actually back in my hometown of the Chicagoland area, and I am recording this in regards to my wonderful trip to Mississippi, but I have to tell you, I guess I'm a cheapskate, because I was entirely too cheap to pay the $10.99 internet connection fee from the hotel that I stayed at while I was in Mississippi. So I want you to bear with me tonight and pretend I am still in Mississippi. And to be honest with you, Chicago feels like it's as hot as Mississippi is right now. So it's almost not too much of a stretch, at least for me. But I want you to pretend that I am actually coming to you live from Mississippi, because that's where my heart is as I tape this recording for you tonight of this broadcast. Now, I kicked off today's program singing the letters that make up the state of Mississippi. And the reason I did that is because I remember as a little kid growing up trying to remember how to recall the letters in different states, specifically the spellings of different states. And so for Mississippi, I would sing it. And that's how I remember all of the letters. I mean, it feels like over 100, right? But that's how I remember how to spell Mississippi, M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I. I would have like this little song, and I always remembered it up till this current age. So I just thought that was kind of funny, and I would share it with the start of this program. So as I said, from the top of the show, I am actually back here in Chicago coming off of an extensive road trip that kicked me off in Atlanta. I was there for like a minute, really, just overnight. Did have a chance to check out Gladys's Chicken and Waffles place, which was absolutely delicious, and drove through the downtown Atlanta area, checked out the state capitol, city hall, and a few other sites. And then was out of there almost in a flash and did the show out of Florida, which you hopefully have heard that taping of the program live from Florida when I was in Lake Buena Vista. And here today, I am taping this program, and again, it has the title of Live from Mississippi. So it'll actually cover my journey through Tunica, Mississippi, and give you just a little bit, just a little flavor of a visit that I had over in the Memphis, Tennessee area, which was actually a lot more enlightening than I thought it would be. So I'll share that with you towards the end of tonight's program. So first, let me tell you about Tunica, Mississippi. Now, as you know, a few months ago, that area was hard hit by flooding. I mean, it just really devastated the area. It lasted for several days, and of course, it took several weeks for the water to make a retreat, and the town is still regrouping. You could tell that the people and the businesses are still trying to recover. And it's interesting, as you are looking out at the Mississippi River, it just looks so calm. And I think the last thing that comes to mind is the amount of water, the amount of rainwater it had to have taken to have the Mississippi flood out the area of town. I mean, it was just overwhelming to me thinking about it. I cannot imagine what the people were actually going through that were down there and living through it. And you could tell that the tourism is slowly but surely making its way back. And that includes the casino gaming that's going on. It's slow, but it's recovering, at least it appeared to be to me. They also have riverboat tours and airboat tours that you can take that are there. And you could see that there were just very few tourists that were in the area and checking out those sites. So hopefully people will start making their way back to the Tunica, Mississippi area to not only see what's going on and check out things, but to just really keep the people that are there, that are living there, in prayer and to uplift that whole area. I have to tell you that during my visit, the hospitality was awesome. It took a little getting used to, though, because, you know, up north, we tend to not show the same type of mannerism. So it took me a minute to get used to the yes ma'am and the no ma'am. And it was just an awesome side of the respect that people were showing as they greeted you. And I thought it was just really interesting to talk with people and to hear their beautiful southern accents. And definitely to enjoy the southern cooking, because honey, woo-wee, honey, let me tell you, the food was so good. And there were different restaurants and places that I checked out, anywhere from the traditional, like the Checkers, the Greasy Spoons, to the Mexican Grill place that's down there. And the food was just so good. One thing, though, I am not accustomed to, I have to admit, is the amount of flies that are in that area. And I don't know if it's because everything, the businesses, the restaurants are so close to the river. I don't know if that's it or not. But it was a little awkward to be sitting there at these different restaurants and in all these different locations, enjoying the sights, enjoying the food, and to be bothered by all these different flies that were swarming around. But needless to say, they did not overshadow the event itself and in going there itself. Now, in regards to things to do and things to see, there were many attractions there. But as I said, it was quite deserted. So again, I hope that the area can truly make a comeback to however it was before. That was my first visit there, but my understanding is that the casinos are typically well visited and the area, so I just truly hope there's a comeback. I did check out the casinos. I am one who loves to do some gaming as one of my hobbies, although I think it's probably time to cut back a bit. But I did check out the casinos of Sam's Town, Gold Strike, and Fitzgerald's, and those were all a lot of fun to visit. I'd love to be able to tell you the story that I came back with thousands of dollars, but truth be told, I did not. So probably came back a lot broker than going there, but that's okay. Hopefully I helped out their economy one way or the other. Now, I had a chance to check out downtown Tunica, which was truly awesome. They have a veterans memorial and a beautiful park that's in the downtown area, a number of different businesses that have pretty much anything that you'd want to purchase. And I thought it was just really great to check out that particular area and, again, the restaurants. And then I also stopped by the Tunica Museum, which happens to be free. So I highly recommend that you check out that museum and see what it has to offer. And it currently has a health exhibit that's there. And I went through the health exhibit, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I think I need to work on my flexibility and certainly my balance after not doing as well as I thought I would do on those particular exhibits. But It was exciting to check out the museum as a whole and to learn of Tunica's history and to see what they had in that museum, so I highly recommend it. Now, some other things to see and do while you are in Tunica, Mississippi, include their River Walk, which my understanding is that the museum that's there is newly built and newly created. It's close to the Fitzgerald's Casino, actually kind of adjacent to it. And it's just so beautiful to walk along that River Walk and to check out the Mississippi River and just the calmness of the area and the river. And right next to the museum, there are actually rocking chairs that you can sit in and feel even more relaxed to just kind of kick back a bit. So I highly recommend that you go over and go down there to the River Walk, and that's also where the bus tours occur. And there's a Riverwalk Museum that's there. I don't know if I said that already because I was just talking about the Tunica Museum. So if I didn't mention that there's a Riverwalk Museum, then you need to check that out as well. Now, in regards to the Mississippi River, I cannot stress enough that it's just amazing when you look out into all of that water and you say to yourself, just the magnitude of the flooding that had to have taken place is just unimaginable. And I think that if you were to just examine it and to see what happened, and in some regards you could really see from the houses and a little damage still there from the hotels, that it was just overwhelming. And so I hope, again, that the people can recover and the businesses can recover. Now, I noticed in the Tunica Visitor's Guide that there is a highway, Highway 61, that connects Tunica, Mississippi with Memphis, Tennessee. So, of course, I had to check out Memphis, Tennessee as a result because, according to the visitor's guide, it was only about 30 minutes out, right? So my spouse and I, we get on the expressway, or excuse me, not the expressway. They call it the highway, the Highway 61, and we're down this road. And it probably took, I'd say, about 45 minutes to really get into the heart of downtown Memphis, Tennessee. And we got out, began our walking, and I tell you, it was just really interesting to check out the FedEx Forum that's in the area and downtown Memphis itself. We saw one particular park where the blues was being played. And then we had some delicious food at B.B. King's restaurant. Oh, it was so good. Again, the whole issue, though, with the flies, but the food was definitely delicious. I'm going to take a short break here, get a few sips of water, and then when I come back, I'm going to tell you about one other thing that I saw in Memphis, Tennessee, and a person in particular that I talked to that has left a true impact on my life. Be right back. I'm back. Thank you for sticking with me. Just needed some water again, honey. Woo! This heat. I tell you, we Chicagoans are probably never happy. We complain when it's cold. We complain when it's hot, but it is hot. So thank you for bearing with me as I took my sips of water. And what I wanted to share with you is that also in Memphis, Tennessee, while visiting there, I checked out the National Civil Rights Museum, and it's connected to the Lorraine Hotel. And if you don't know the history, the Lorraine Hotel is where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was actually shot. And I tell you, it's amazing if you go into the museum. First off, outside, they have a couple of vehicles that are out there from the time period of the actual shooting. There is a wreath right now in front of room 306 where Dr. King was standing when he was shot. And once you've checked out the outside, and I know I took pictures also galore, you can go in and pay a small fee and check out the museum itself, which I did. And you go in, you first learn about the history of them making a decision to save this hotel and to create it as a museum, and you learn of the, I believe it was the owner's wife, that had a heart attack and passed away the same day, the same time period when Dr. King had been shot. And there was a movie that was shown, I think it was about 30-something minutes long, called The Witness, while you were at the museum, that you could actually watch. It talked about the story of that, and that talked about what it was like to actually be there on the balcony with Dr. King when he was shot, and what the experience of the whole evening was the night before and the day of and the time after. And as you walk through this museum, I mean, it's truly a journey that you're taking on in regards to the whole civil rights movement. I mean, you learn about the bus boycott, for example, the role of the Black Panthers. You read, of course, the story more on Dr. King, the March on Washington. You actually see the gentlemen that were the sanitation workers and them standing with their signs. And you see actually an image of a truck, a sanitation truck there in the museum. You walk through a bus with another image of Rosa Parks sitting there on the bus. And I tell you, by the end, including walking past room 306 and seeing replicas of what the room looked like that day, as well as rooms 307 and 308, you're truly overcome. I know there was a Caucasian gentleman, for example, as I was watching the movie, The Witness, that I talked about a few minutes ago, who was actually shedding tears. And there were people there from other countries. You know, as you checked in and you paid your fee to get in, the person who was taking your money would say, what was your zip code or what was your country code based on where you were? And it was just amazing to see, you know, who all was coming there and to see the children and to see the families and to see African Americans there. And again, Caucasians there, people from other countries there. It was truly emotionally overwhelming. Now, one thing that I really found of even greater interest is that upon going to the museum, before even going into the museum, I noticed across the street there was a woman with a blue tarp, several, at least one table, I think just one table, I was going to say several, but I know one table she had for sure, a space to sit in, and again, the tarp. And she had, you know, different poster boards and different things set up. And I assumed she was selling some products. So I thought to myself right away that when I come out of this museum, I have to talk to this lady for certain. Well, I didn't learn until after visiting the museum, because she was across the street. She wasn't directly in the path to get to the museum. Otherwise, I would have talked with her before going to it. So I crossed the street after visiting the museum and across the street from the Lorraine Hotel to find that this lady, whose name is Jacqueline Smith, has been out there for over 20 years protesting that this hotel had been turned into a museum. And I tell you, it was so deep in talking to her, learning of her story. She was kind enough to speak with me a while and to give me some of her literature, to recommend books to me that I read, to suggest I go off to her website, and I do web searches on various things, which I am going to follow up on. I tell you, it was just really amazing talking with her, and really the gist of her point was that, you know, here we are as a society building monuments, and we're building these museums. We're spending millions, really, and propping all these items up to salute our leaders, people that have passed away, and people that represented those that were less fortunate, those that were poor, those that were having job issues or housing issues, or, of course, racial discrimination problems, those that were really in trouble that would more than likely be insulted if they found out today how the funds were actually used. And I remember she also showed me pictures, for example, of casinos that have sponsored events right there in front of the hotel. And if you can imagine, you know, various people literally dancing in front of this hotel that is supposed to be in remembrance of civil rights and all that Dr. King went through and others went through to help people become better and improve society for certain people, various groups of people, and really all of us as a whole, to tell you the truth. And so what I'm going to do is during the month of September, I've actually set a date for it already, so mark your calendars down right now, September 24th at 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to do a blog talk show on that subject matter of the hotel, of the Civil Rights Museum, of Jacqueline's plight, and of the question, are we in the wrong to set up these monuments, set up these museums in place of using those funds for perhaps better purposes? And I know during the movie of The Witness, for example, of course they had Dr. King's various speeches and some of his quotes in there. One thing that he talked about during that movie and that we've heard him speak on, most of us, on more than one occasion, is how funds are spent. And he mentions, for example, that we are a country that spends more on the military than we do people that are in economic straits. And so it really raises to me a question in my mind. And I know I thought about this during my road trip home from heading out of Memphis, Tennessee, all the way back home to the Chicagoland area. This woman, Jacqueline, was on my mind, and I was thinking about a letter that I want to compose to her and send to her, and I will tell her about the show coming up, even invite her to be on it, so maybe we'll have her directly speak. But it's something for us to really think about. So I hope that as you listen to this program, and it's hopeful you will share it with your family and your friends, that you will think about the people that are in Tunica, Mississippi, and in the surrounding areas. And I know people across our country and in other countries are going through their own issues and problems. But I hope that we will extend a prayer to those that are in Tunica, Mississippi, and trying to recover and bring back their area. And that we'll also think about people like Jacqueline Smith and what they're trying to stand for, what they're trying to point out to us. Because, you know, we just go day in, day out, and think about ourselves and our life and what's going on in our little bubble. And we really need to take time out, more time out, to see what others are going through as well. So with that said, as I get ready to close today, I want to tell you about some shows that are coming up and that are already scheduled and some that are planned. And then I want to wrap up finally with information on how you can get a hold of me. And you are always welcome to voice your opinion and give some feedback. I welcome it. So first off here, during the month of July, there's actually one more show I'm going to do before this month comes to a close. And can you believe it, baby? We are almost done with July. I mean, where is the year gone? Doesn't it always feel like we just said, Happy New Year, now we're in July? That's what it feels like to me. So before we completely close out July here, coming up on July 29th, from 8:30 to 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be talking about social networking. So I hope you'll check out that show. And then during the month of August, I have two shows currently scheduled, but don't be surprised, like I did today, if I don't just pop in and schedule another show. You know how I do it. Sometimes I'll just pop it in on a whim. But coming up on August the 5th, from 9 o'clock to 9:30 in the morning, I'm going to be talking about animated cartoons. And you don't want to miss that show. It's going to be, I think, really one of the interesting ones I've done. And then on August 19th, from 10 until 10:30 in the morning, I'm going to talk about current news events. And Lord knows there have been a lot, just so much going on. I'm going to pretend almost to be like a Miss Gayle King and talking about what's happening, what's on my mind in regards to some of those things that are happening. And you're welcome to dial in and tell me what's on your mind as well. And then in September, there are three shows that I'm already thinking about doing and plan on scheduling on September 16th from 9 until 9:30 in the morning. I'd like to do something on reality shows, so you want to check that one out. And then September 24th, I mentioned this one a few minutes ago, from 10 until 10:30 in the morning, I'm going to do a show on the National Civil Rights Museum, the Lorraine Hotel, and I just gave you reasons why a few minutes ago. And then September 30th from 10 o'clock until 10:30 in the morning, an area show I'm calling Story Time. I'm not going to tell you what that's about yet, but I can promise you you'll want to listen. So with that said, I want to tell you some ways on how you can reach out to me to say hello, to tell me what you think about the shows, offer any feedback or suggestions. I had to swallow there, sorry. First and foremost, through email, you could drop me an email at mailtobanks@aol.com. It's spelled M-A-I-L, the number 2, B as in boy, A-N-K-S, @aol.com. And I think I check email the most across the weekend. So, you know, if you really want to, like, catch me right away, probably send it an email on a Friday or Saturday is probably your better bet for the quickest reply. That email address again is spelled M-A-I-L, the number 2, B as in boy, A-N-K-S, @aol.com, mailtobanks@aol.com. And then here on the web, I highly suggest that you become a friend of this show. You can go over to blogtalkradio.com/ElaSec, and ElaSec is spelled E-L-L-A-C-E-C. It stands for my publishing company of ElaSec Publishing. I'm also out there on Facebook and MySpace, so check out my information out there as well. You can find me under ElaSec Publishing and also under Teresa Banks. And with that said, I want you to make sure that you stay tuned to this show and to this program. I'm going to also have some more interviews coming up real soon as well. So make sure that you listen to my last show here coming up in July. You check out those shows in August and September. And until we either talk to each other again or email one another again, take good care of yourself. And always know that every day, no matter what happens in our life, no matter what weather, no matter what madness, no matter what's positive and good, that God is always in control. Talk to y'all later. Take care.